Okay, now we are here together, January the 13th. It's a pretty significant day, I think, for 2013. And it's time that we join together in our community of love, support, service, and giving and receiving, and share with one another what's happening, what's on your mind, what's on your heart, what would you like to receive, how can we join together to make the most wonderful blessing for all of us. Press star 6 and then 1 on your telephone to join the queue. And I see Sharon Wheeler's on the call. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Glenda. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, cool. I would like to ask a special request. One of our blessing givers, Cecilia, is in need of a blessing, and I would like to include all of the blessing givers to assist with blessing her today, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Cecilia, if you're on the call, just know we love you. Wherever you are, we love you. Wherever you are. So if there's anything that you want to say, Cecilia, we're here to listen to you and support you. And how are you doing, Sharon?
I am doing wonderful. I'm having a ball just being on the daily blessing call and laughing and being in so much joy. And I just want to let everybody know that doesn't know about our group. Just you guys are all invited, and we're so excited that when we get together that we just feel so much love and so much more. I mean, it's just who we really are, and we can really feel the I Am presence. And I just wanted to thank you, Glenda, from the bottom of my heart, that this is just such, it's like my daily dose of, you know, spirituality and God and the life and the living.
That's so wonderful. Thank you for sharing your appreciation and your love, Sharon. One thing I did want to note, though, because we are on a call.
Oh,
reaches around the world for many people. This, your invitation was for blessing givers.
Yes, yes, I'm sorry about that.
But you might want to announce what time you do it, because anyone else could focus in spiritually.
That's true. I think on Monday and Wednesdays, it's at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's at 3:00 Mountain Standard Time, and then on Friday is at 4:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So if they just want to sit quietly for 10 minutes and receive, that would be wonderful.
Absolutely. So in that way, everyone's included.
Right, right.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Speaking up, Sharon. I'm so glad to assist you in getting this out. We have a caller from Area Code 336.
Hey, Glenda. It's Randy from North Carolina.
Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Going good. I'm like many on here. I've read Love Without End so many times I've lost count. But I started again last night from the very beginning. And as I got through the first chapter, it really hit me about the oak tree and when the light fell on the painting and tore a hole in it. There's something about that I feel like is significant for us right now as a people, that we seem to missed that part.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people kind of did bounce over that part of the story because it involves really quite an extraordinary miracle. And I think people move on to what they're ready to understand. If you think about it, all of life is a miracle. I mean, it's just a miracle that we survive the way we do in on a planet that has such density and continual challenges. But yes, that was a very special miracle, and I think that what's relevant today, especially with what has happened in the world on many different levels through 2012, we saw a lot of, shall we say, fracturing of the limbs of the tree of humanity. We saw a lot of discordant behavior and conflict. We saw a lot of people really drawing up opposite sides of a basic belief system. But one thing that happened is that the light hit into a vulnerability that was already there. In other words, the tree was already split. And it was already split. It just exposed something that was already split and called attention to it. But it did not affect the roots of the tree. In other words, the roots of the tree are planted solidly in the sacred ground of God's creation and our earth and who we are as one people and one family. The roots are okay. And the divisions that were stressed, I believe, last year and ongoing right now, I don't think the stress is complete, actually. This is, as I said before, in I think it was maybe our New Year's blessing call, this will be a year of recovery, but not a year of healing. And part of recovery involves still purging out bacteria, if it's a physical illness, bacteria, viruses, toxins, all the things that caused an illness in the first place. We got a lot of purging to still do. We've got a lot of examining still to do. We've got a lot of diagnosing still to do. But it will be a year in which whatever we do, no matter how much we have to confront, will lead toward healing. I believe it's a year of recovery, where the recovery begins. And it might be a little bit like the, I brought the painting home. I didn't stress over what happened. I was sad about what happened, but I figured, well, this is his painting. He knows what to do with it. And so I just surrendered into my faith, put it in its case, brought it home, but I dreaded to look at it the next day. When I pulled it out, I was shocked more than when it happened, that it was actually healed. And I think the real revelation of this miracle is that there's part of life that is just an illusion. Mm-hmm. And that's where most of the fracturing occurs. That's where most of the discord occurs. That's where most of the high-impact situations come, in order that we can have a lesson that allows us to go back to the baseline root of our being, where we find our strength.
And I think it's also symbolic of the rending of the veil, as the scripture talked about, how the rent of the painting, and it's also, you talked about the veil and how thin the veil is, and I think it's symbolic how the painting was torn and the veil is also being torn.
Yes, it is, indeed. And what we're seeing as the veil is being torn is that on the one hand, we're receiving more positive intervention from Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the angels. On the other hand, we're losing our defense against possible corrupt or evil forces that need to also be purged. And this was part of prophecy, that as the good is accelerated, much of the evil has to be faced and released. And I think this is like any healing process.
I heard someone explaining last week that there's 17.2 miles, 8 point something miles above the earth and 8 something point miles below the earth, and above and below that are the light pushing this 17.2 miles together. In other words, it's going to be like the zero point when it comes together. And,
well, that's
and those forces, and those forces are in this field of the 17.2 miles of that area, and that's where the negative energy is. It's being compressed from both sides of the light.
Interesting. I have not heard that, Randy, but it's something interesting to contemplate. And I do know that we live in a very, very narrow atmospheric band of tolerance. And I think that's not just physical atmosphere, but also the density of energy that facilitates our optimum consciousness. As you know from many of the classes that I taught last year, everything is energy, including our consciousness. And that consciousness flows on certain energetic bands. Now, this is part of the power of the blessing, and the reason it is energetic is because we are inflowing the power of the Holy Spirit, which Christ and the apostles also described as energetic. And so not only is our human biological mind consciousness energetic with many, many frequencies of energy, the higher levels of consciousness also are energetic. And there's a certain band of energetic frequency that can convey that, no less than, it's a pretty close analogy to the way energy signals are sent through the atmosphere from radio and TV stations, and then they're picked up with the correct instrument, correctly attuned to that energy vibration, so we get sound and a picture to look at. And so as these energy vibrations are being adjusted, either compressed or expanded, but definitely adjusted, we're going to be able to receive messages we could not get before. And that's something I think all of you may begin to experience in this thing called the shift. I think the word shift may have been a little overworked as a form of prophecy, and we all expect it to be somewhat like the change from night to day, or day to night, or a seasonal shift from tolerable weather to freezing weather. It really isn't like that. I think what it is I think we're going to all experience it personally and subjectively, and I think what we're going to notice is that frequencies of thought, consciousness, energy, and opportunity are now available to us that were not there before, and things that used to look good and feel good to us and work well for us seem to not work anymore and don't even seem to attract us anymore. Now, part of this has to do with us progressing through our life into different stages of maturity. Because as a person in our 40s, we're just not interested in the same thing as we were as a person in our 20s. Or, not to mention, 60s or 70s compared to 20s. These states of interest and consciousness and orientation and values change as we go through life. And I think that we're seeing this certainly with the whole of human consciousness as we have broader and more interactive global connections. Our scope of reality is expanding. But that's not just it. It's not just a life passage thing or a globalization thing that's happening. There's something else, Randy, and I thank you for mentioning that. I'm not familiar with that particular idea presentation, but it does ring true to me as being a condensation. You know, just having passed through a phase of so many sun flares has had an impact upon our atmospheric density and the frequencies of energy that flow through it. You know, at one point, some people were very concerned that our satellites might be affected. And we think that that probably is not going to happen. But other people feel that the pressure this is causing coming up from the center of the Earth could actually move some of the platelets, thus setting off earthquakes. I don't think we're past that possible liability yet. But looking at what you said from different perspectives, applying what I know about energy and consciousness, I think there's a lot of value in what you're looking at, Randy. So just explore it, study it, and take it for how it feels for you. And I think that's generally good advice for all of you, because every one of us really is a participant in the parable of the elephant. There is a huge reality out there, in there, with us and among us. And each one of us is touching some part of that elephant. And we could bring up a little part of that elephant and say, wow, this is just kind of rough, leathery skin. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. Somebody else could say, well, this feels like a big old overgrown toenail. How do I deal with this? But from a God's eye viewpoint, it's an elephant. And it's alive, and it's part of nature, and it's the happening thing. So let's learn from one another. Let's take what each other has to offer and say, you know, this could give me a little insight into what I'm discovering, and you might want to know what I'm discovering, because there are a lot of changes happen. I prefer to call them points of evolution, stages of evolution, stages of growth, because I don't think it's going to be a black and white, night to day, quote, shift.
Can I add something about the shift?
Yes.
Someone described it to me this way. If you know that spring is coming, you're excited about spring, and then the first day of spring arrives, the leaves just don't suddenly pop out on the trees and the flowers just don't pop out of the ground.
It takes several days
for these things to suddenly pass for you to realize this is beautiful spring weather.
Exactly. See, this is what I'm saying. Everything is a process that has its transitional phases. And I think we have embedded the word shift with too much immediate expectation. And so I'm trying to soften that. Because even in our lives, we definitely shift from childhood to adulthood, but it doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
So let's be perceptive. Expected, that's a good thing, Randy, and optimistic and also patient with ourselves so that we can enjoy every day as it happens and every incident in our life for what it may bring us. Anyway, I thought this was a fun discussion. Thanks for bringing it to them.
Thank you so much, Glenda, for doing this for us.
Oh, you're welcome, Randy. It's my pleasure. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? I'll just wait for you to check on. We've got a few minutes left, and yes, we have Janet. And hi, Janet.
Yes, I'm in the Atlanta area, and I was concerned about people discouraging Eve about working with animals when she called in last week. I found someone gave me this book a few years ago that's beautiful. It's called Magic Cat, An Enlightened Animal Explains Creation. And it's through Y-A-E-L is the woman's name, and Doug Powell. And she communicated with her cat, and the cat explained the way animals see things. And it's so beautiful. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read just a short little paragraph about what the cat experiences at night, because it's so similar to what you are telling us and what I know about reaching a spiritual level where it's all love and beauty and getting beyond the world. And this is what the cat said. The whole book is just beautifully written, and I mean the way the cat describes it. When I walk outside at night, I am engulfed in a song of love so powerful that for a moment I am overcome by its beauty. The stars above rain their songs down upon us, speaking of all their lives within the greater world of creation. The mother wraps me completely in her blanket of love, letting me know that she loves me and keeps me always within her. Then added to the song of her love is a symphony of life. All creatures and energies and beings move in a chorus of joy for which there are no words, only gratitude. that gratitude rises up in me at the glory of this world, turning in the mother's arms, rocked through the vastness in a swirling coral of tenderness and joy.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
And I can't believe that anybody could downgrade animals, you know. And when Eve said people discouraged her from working with animals, I've worked or had a lot of cats and been involved with some feral cats and observed how they live. And I had already realized that so many times they live on a higher level than we do. I mean, they're more connected, I think, to this spiritual level. And
yeah, I have, you know, Gunner has was my companion in my in all of my early work with Yeshua, and I learned so much from him. I learned a great deal from the vineyard. I think it's not just limited to animals, but to plants. I could hear the song of the vineyard. Literally, it had a song.
You know, this
and thank you so much for reading that. You know, Janet, I would appreciate if you would do something for me, a really big favor. Send me the title of that book to questions@lovewithoutend.com.
Okay.
And I'll make sure that Eve gets a copy of it, and I'd like to get a copy for myself as well.
Well, it's so connected with you know, with the way you teach and what you are sharing with everyone. And when I got it out today, it kept coming to my mind. And when I got it out today, I just felt like I had to share this because it's so in tune with the way you're, you know, what you're sharing with all of us.
You know, I thank you so much, and I totally agree. I get so much from nature and from all the animals. Someone once asked me on a call if animals have souls. And I said, I didn't want to say the wrong thing. And so I just kind of shut up. And I said, Yeshua, speak through me. And what came out shocked me. He said, they don't need them because they've never left God.
That's what I was kind of thinking when somebody told her that I'm sure they bypass the mental process that we go through.
Exactly. And Yeshua said, all human beings need souls so that you can have a unique and independent life and still not be connected to God. The animals and all of plant life and all of the earth and all of the universe never left the body of God.
That's beautiful. You know, this lady who communicated with the cat, before she communicated with the cat, she communicated with plants. And she said she had the most beautiful vegetable garden because the plants told her what they needed.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, this I think everybody will really love this. People send me a high sign. You can always talk to me, questions@lovewithoutend.com. I got a very interesting YouTube video from Bishop Dale about 2 weeks ago, and it was about it was called Singing Plants. And what it was is a woman had set up sound electrode decoders on plants that could turn the energy of plants into sound. She wanted to hear what would the energy of this plant sound like if I could turn it into sound. And it was the most incredible music. It was like chanting. And the chant varied if someone would come up and stroke the leaf of the plant. And she did it on different plants, and they had a different song. But it was like chanting if someone would come up and be kind of like a disbeliever or perhaps not positive about this experiment, the plant would get very, very quiet. And then when children came around, it would speed up with joy and be really, really, really happy. And it would change its song according to what other plants were brought around it. It was a fascinating thing. Now, the reason I think that's relevant to the blessing right now is because it gives further credibility and confirmation about the energy that our whole body and being, not to mention heart, mind, and soul, are composed of energy. And it's very likely each one of us also has a song. And when we're singing that song in harmony, all things get better. This, you know, when I used to go to church as a little child, I think the only part I really understood as a little bitty girl was the songs. And I used to get up and sing, and sometimes when everybody would already be through and sitting down, I'd still be standing up singing. My mother would have to put me in her lap and say, "Be quiet, Glenda." I just kept right on singing. It was just a joyous thing for me. And I see Eve's on the call. Hi, Eve. Eve, you're on. Just a minute. You keep muting yourself, Eve. Just, you're on. Speak up.
Okay. I wanted to thank both you and Janet. You're both so kind. And I'm actually sitting out here on the deck with Blackie, who's like a big 20-pound cat, a feral cat that I rescued. And he had been living under a van probably for about 3 years. And he and June, the other feral I rescued, are hanging out with my three Boston Terriers, and they're buddies with the chickens, so we're all getting along fine over here. So I just wanted to say thank you to everyone, and I do appreciate your concern. And that was so beautiful what you said about the animals, that they have a direct connection.
Oh, I know they
do. So beautiful, so beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I know they do.
Thank you.
They bring that to me. Okay. Thanks, everybody. It looks like we're getting really close to blessing time. We've got maybe room for one more quick call. Otherwise, while I'm looking to see if anybody wants to sign on. Okay. Muriel, I see you're on.
Yes. Glenda, how are you? I have to give you I have a cat named Sophie. Okay?
Okay.
Whenever I'm praying, she's with me. Whenever I say Jesus, both of them will come, okay? So the cats, I talked to you before about them. At 3 p.m., I'll do what they call the Divine Mercy Chaplet, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I was in a hurry. I said, okay, I'm not going to turn on the TV to do it with EWTN. I'm going to do it, you know, on my own. I start to do the chaplet, and then Sophie came to me, and then she just looked at me straight in my eyes, and she told me to turn on the TV. So I want, you know, she told me psychically, turn on the TV. That's what I usually do, because she likes to see Jesus in a, you know, in with the priest doing the chaplet. And I was shocked. I was shocked. I have one painting, the last painting you did, the one in Arizona. I put it on my bed, on my pillow, because I don't sleep in my bedroom. I sleep in my meditation room. And then that's where Sophie sleeps. She stay at Jesus' feet all the time.
Oh, that's so sweet. And, you know, that reminds me of what Gunnar did after the painting was complete and the appearances no longer happened, at least not for that painting. Gunnar would sit underneath the painting all day long. Well, this is wonderful, sweet sharing, and it's time we moved into our blessing. Thank all of you for speaking up and contributing to our community in important and valuable ways. I'm going to now put us on mute so that we can have a silent background for our recording and our conveyance of the energy. I ask whatever blessing givers are here who would like to join me to add to our harmony. And let's call it the song of blessing, because in many ways that's exactly what it is. Whenever we come together through the energy of the Holy Spirit, we are conveying the song of the Holy Spirit. And that brings us into more clarity, more purity, and uniqueness of our own song. What I feel is so miraculous and so amazing about the Holy Spirit is that it does whatever is necessary without us asking. It passes its own song through us and never interferes with our song. Whatever our song needs to be, It just adds to it and strengthens it, but makes it more harmonic, makes it clearer, allows it to be more what it is, so that we could have more fulfillment in the life we choose to live. And so I invite the blessing givers to join me, and everyone who is here to receive, please have your feet on the ground. There is something really, really amazing about the energy from our earth that is healing as more than any other medicine, really. I'm going to send out in a week or so everyone who's enrolled on for the blessing, who signed up for this. You'll get a little newsletter from me about something I just received from a major doctor, and his information and his research about the antioxidant power of earth magnetism and why it's so important to walk barefoot in weather that permits it, or just at least, at the very least, use leather-soled shoes or moccasins. And he really talks about the statistical decline in our health since we have opted for these running shoes that block the energy from the earth. So I want to send you that article because I think it will help reinforce your appreciation and your understanding of why you remove your shoes and socks and you have your feet on the ground during this blessing. Be seated, because I want your spine approximately vertical, but not in an uncomfortable way. This does not have to be a yoga position. There should be no strain in it. It should be a position you can hold even if you fall asleep. But the reason I want it approximately vertical is because we're going to use the forces of gravity to also accelerate the energy that is pouring through your body. And the top of your head has an energy vortex that is the most powerful in your body. So we want it facing out to the heavens, outward from the earth, to be receiving from that direction. So you are an energy receiver. This is how you set up your antennae, your receiving unit. And this energy will pour through your body. It will circle in the area of your heart. And this is where it will feel the love of Christ the most and activate your own emotional desires and needs the most. Then it will pass on through your legs into the earth, back up from the earth into your heart with a new gift from the earth that will cleanse your heart and strengthen your heart even more, and then pass on out through the top of your head, giving back to God and the universe that which you no longer need. Then it will come back from the universe as a new gift from the universe to replenish your heart, nourish, support, empower your heart, and then back to the earth. And it will move back and forth several times in the course of about 3 minutes. Now, during those 3 minutes, pray your prayer gently, with faith, in whatever way you choose. It could be loud, it could be quiet, it could be completely silent without words. It could be in pictures. It could be humming your favorite chant or sacred song. It could be a mantra that really touches your heart and soul. Whatever, however prayer works for you, because this is your time to strengthen your connection to the Creator, your connection to God, your connection to your source, however you wish to describe or know the presence of God within you and around you and from all it is. And we, as blessing givers, will be, we're like the bellows. You know, if you've ever noticed a fire, and it's just down to the little embers, just lighted and glowing, and the fire is far from dead, but it's not exactly a raging fire either. You put on more wood, and the wood almost snuffs out the little embers because the heavy wood you put on it actually reduces the available oxygen. See, this is what happens many times in our life when we go to start a new project. We just put more logs on the little embers, and the little embers can't carry the load. Well, in this blessing, we're not putting more logs on. What we're doing, the blessing givers and I, are like the bellows, and we're going to be putting fresh oxygen and energy on the embers so that they can glow and gain strength and gain energy. And in due time, when they're strong enough, they will catch hold of the logs that you've put on and then produce the greater light and heat and energy for your life, for all that you desire. So be relaxed as if you were in front of a little lazy fire in the winter. The embers are glowing, and you're in your heart and you're in prayer. And we shall begin. Dear Yeshua, thank you for always looking to the glowing embers inside us. No matter how weak we may feel, or at times when we feel insufficient or insignificant, thanks for being with us and keeping our heart fires glowing, waiting and abiding in the true nature of who we are, knowing that as the will of God pours through us, the opportunities of nature accelerate us. Our companionship with others supports us, and the Holy Spirit enlivens us. We will move into new and greater phases of our life and creation. Thank you for being here this day, helping us to just simply accept the love that we are now. For always it is enough to be the love that we are now and to receive the energy of the Holy Spirit for all greatness that may come. We ask you for your healing, for your companionship, for strength, for faith, hope, and even greater love as you abide with us. We surrender, we receive, and we open our hearts to the presence of the Holy Spirit and your eternal love. Amen. The energetic conveyance is complete. Now, the next step is to go and rest for at least 7 minutes. And in your rest time, don't think. Your mind will, your mind cannot take in what's happening for you and being given to you. So bless your mind and tell it to stay quiet. If you have thoughts, just let them flow through and don't attach to them. And rest, assimilate, and know that you're loved. Receive the love of God. Receive the love of nature. Receive the love of Christ. Receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And know that you are very loved, and we are so glad that you're part of our community. I look forward to being with you again next week. And blessings from me.